morning and happy Monday to you. It's Gary Zimak. Welcome to another week of Spirit in the Morning. I have some things I really want to talk to you about today, mainly involving the Radiothon. We are so grateful for your support. Let me kick things off with prayer. Then I'm going to say a couple things and bring Dave and Frank in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the start of another day. We thank you for all the blessings that you give to us each day. Above all, we thank you for the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to live among us, to suffer on the cross, to rise from the dead so that the gates of heaven could be open. How could we ever thank you enough for that? Father, we ask you to help us today as we face our problems, as we face the struggles of life. Please continue to be with us and grant us the grace that we need so that we can continue on the road which will one day lead to eternal life with you in heaven. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. We've got a great show today. We will be joined by author Thomas Nash. He wrote a book called What Did Jesus Do? The Biblical Roots of the Catholic Church. We hear a lot, what would Jesus do? Well, he's going to talk about what did Jesus do? And Jesus just so happened to found a church. That's the Catholic Church. He's going to talk about that. Father Jim Sitchko will be back with us again to talk about the parish missions that he's offering. And yes, you can bring him to your parish. We're going to talk about that. But right now, I want to bring in Dave Parker. Brother, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Wonderful, man.
All right.
Frank Eliason.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
We did it, right? We did it. A win is a win is a win. Right? I mean, I wasn't going to go there, but look, we won. That's good enough. But guys, I wanted to bring you in to talk a little bit about Radiothon. You know, over the past couple of days, we hit it pretty hard.
We were asking
for your support. Yes. And you know what? You came through for us. We don't normally do this. We don't normally ask for things. But as far as Spirit in the Morning goes, every goal that we set, and Frank, there were some pretty tough goals.
There were.
Every goal was met. And we just want to say thank you. We are so grateful. And before I just want to say a few things before I turn it over to Dave and Frank. Mm-hmm. Dave Parker, I just want to thank you for being the guy you are, for being
thank
so
you.
Faithful
thank you,
and for just bringing it, for doing everything, every crazy thing that I ask you to do on this show. You roll with the punches.
Yeah, there were some of those.
Yeah, you are such an asset to this program, and I'm grateful to be
you,
your
Gary.
Friend.
And you are, too.
And to be your co-worker.
Likewise.
All right, now,
back at you, brother.
The other thing is,
the amount of long days you put in last week.
I mean, Frank? I mean, this guy was amazing. I mean,
Absolutely.
Not only on this show, but he was here the whole time. I would go home, I'd listen to it, and Dave was still
thank
there
you.
On
thank
with
you
a different host.
I know. Well, what is it, Saturday now?
No. But I mean...
No, really. Thank you, Gary, for the kind words.
And, the other
and Frank.
And the other thing I want to say beside Dave is I am grateful. And Frank, your management, I want to thank you for letting me be a part of the Holy Spirit Radio family, for doing this show. And I want to call attention to so many of the other great hosts here at Holy Spirit Radio. So many people, as I was listening over the course of the Radiothon, you know, I do my thing on Spirit in the Morning. I'm grateful for the opportunity to do what I do. But when I heard people like Barbara Schinkel and Joe Montone and Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife Janet and Monsignor O'Donnell and Mark Houck and all these people who have been here for years and years and who have made Holy Spirit Radio what it is, I'm grateful to be part of this family, and I just want to give them recognition. And, you know, it's a team effort here, Frank, and I'm just going to let you say a few things.
No, it was a great 3 days. It was great to see the support of everybody, not just our listeners, but the people here, the volunteers that came in during the course of the event. We did it a little bit differently than we have in prior years, and I think the feedback so far has been pretty good. Okay. We'll see. We'll continue to evaluate and see where we go. So if anyone has feedback, certainly feel free to email me, frank@holyspiritradio.org. But you know what? It wound up being, you know, a pleasure to be a part of it. And it is so exciting. Like Mark coming in was like not even really planned.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he came in.
Right.
It was the perfect moment. He came on. You know,
that was a fun segment because you were there.
You added
a lot. Can I say something about Frank? I mean, he is management, but just look how he's grown into rotation as I go over the year. He's on air now. You are a god. You bring a godly presence, Frank.
And we're grateful to have you.
Okay, you're done. Turn off his mic.
And by the way, the one guy I forgot to mention was Patrick McCabe coming back.
Well, that was, I was just about to get in that. Patrick coming back was, you know, just a sign. It was all seemed to be right in the world just to have him there. So, you know, quick shout out to Patrick. Just to, he's a member of the family.
Good morning,
we'll
Patrick.
Be. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of great things that come out from these things.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, the support that was shown by our listeners, you know, we very much were touched by it. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
I just thought of something that made me chuckle. I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, and we're giving shout outs to all the people. Joan Eliason.
She was amazing.
Hey, Joan. She brings a smile.
I miss her. I mean, I could use Joan in here every day.
Where
Your
are
mom
you,
was
Joan?
Just phenomenal.
What
really
energy.
Well, Patrick was like so disappointed that he didn't get to see her when he was here for the same exact reason, Radiothon, and because she's been a part of the Radiothon since the beginning.
And two more, if I can. And Mark Cordero and Marianne McCormick, relatively new, but Mark has been here, but he's kind of the behind the scenes unofficial photographer.
He got
on the air.
And then we also have Marie Joseph.
Marie Joseph, how could we forget?
And our buddy Greg, who was here answering the phones, did such a great job too. I mean, so many people contributed. It was just great to be a part of this whole thing.
Praise God. So.
And, you know, just...
You did a marvelous job, Gary. You brought it. I thought you were somebody else.
Dave, you...
And finally, blessings to Dale and Jane for not only starting this station, allowing us to, you know, to go down this path to try different things. You know, very much appreciate everything that they've do for this station and all the hard work that goes
along
with
that. And Carolyn.
Oh, she wouldn't like me mentioning her.
Well, you didn't. I did.
Although Dale wouldn't like me mentioning her, mentioning him, and I mentioned him. So, you know, we can mention...
That's right. Well, but you know what? Personally speaking, there would be no Spirit in the Morning if it was not for the support of Dale and Jane and Carolyn and yourself, Frank, and everybody at the station. So I'm grateful that this station is here, that they said yes 18 years ago, right?
And Kathy.
Yep.
God bless Kathy.
God bless Kathy. Thank you.
So it's good. I just, you know, and again, thank you for your support and just keep spreading the word about not just Spirit in the Morning, about all. And I really want to encourage you to check out some of the other local programs on Holy Spirit Radio, because Frank, we do some really, really good things here. In addition to the network programming, some of the other shows, and that's why I wanted to mention the hosts. There are some great programs on this station.
We have some great local hosts, and you know, and then even beyond that, you know, we try and make it about discovery. So one of the things that I just put a promotion in, you know, so people start hearing, is announcing at 4 o'clock we have the jukebox, which
I
is
heard
basically
that. I love to, it. I love that.
So now we have the jukebox effect all the time. Yeah. But that, you know, it's a way of discovering new programs. And you know, one of the things about that is on Tuesday this week, since I'm getting ready to travel, so I won't be on the air, so I'll mention it now. On Tuesday of this week, we're going to re-air the Beatification of Rother. Which aired over the weekend. And if you didn't have the chance to hear it, it was incredible. It's about two hours, 45 minutes. But we're going to re-air it tomorrow at 4 p.m. as part of the jukebox.
Anna on the, Sunrise. I mean, she alluded to it. I'm looking forward to listening to that.
It was a great, you know, I never really thought about re-airing something that long. But even, you know, I knew in the first few minutes of listening to it.
You knew.
I knew that it needed to be re-aired. I knew more people needed to hear it. And so that's one of the things about the 4 o'clock program, is this opportunity to hear something you may not have heard because you may not listen in the evenings or on the weekends. That's something powerful.
Mm. Hey, Garen Frey, can I mention one more person who is really near and dear to me and who popped in? You know, I had invited her, my wife, Barbara. Yes, thank you for coming up. And you know, she's kind of shy. I'm the effervescent one usually, and she came up and she, we did the rosary. It was during the holy hour.
Very nice.
So thank you, Barbara, for coming out of your comfort zone.
That was nice. And thank you, Barbara, for sharing Dave with us each day, because it wouldn't be the same without
him. She's glad to.
I was about to say that.
See, I'm trying to take the high road here.
All right. Regular programming, take the low road.
Let's take a look at the weather, and then we'll do the gospel today. Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, 70 degrees under of cloudy skies. Today, sunny with a high near 89. Tonight, increasing clouds, low around 69. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 84. at the moment in Malvern. It's 64 in Bensalem. It's 69 degrees. And in Riverton, New Jersey, it's also 69 degrees. Mm. All right, the gospel today, kind of a short one. Okay. Jesus gets right to the point here, Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, and nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." I mean, there's a couple of messages here. One of them is that we are all called to be that light shining in the darkness
Absolutely.
Of the world. Yes. And not just here at Holy Spirit Radio, which I think we do it very well here, by the way,
yes.
but on a personal level. How am I showing the love of Christ to those around me today?
Absolutely.
You know, wherever I am, wherever I go, how am I doing that?
Yeah, do not put that light, our light, under a basket. Do not hide it. You know, that, I mean, there, I love that. I was going to say, Gary, that I love that that gospel scripture. You know, if we profess that we are Christians and then we just don't go around, and I mean,
that's right.
when we have the opportunity and we show or manifest that love, and because someone's in need, and we can, you know, hug them or have them share with us. So, yes, I love that.
And the other message, the other big message that we can get out of this, which ties into our next guest, is that when Jesus founded a church, that church was meant to be visible. It's not something intangible. Mm-hmm. It's not an invisible church. He founded a visible church.
Yes, very
that
much so.
Church is known with, you know, by it has a certain hierarchy. We're going to talk about that church that Jesus founded with our first guest, Tom Nash, who's going to be joining us right after the break.
So, can't wait. Looking forward to
it.
Going
to be a good show, Frank and Dave.
Recharge your coffee.
I'll get you in the car.
That's right. Frank's going to be leaving us. All right.
Before I go, I do want to give a quick shout out. We were just giving shout outs to everybody that helped last week. My kids, Lily and Robin.
Oh, yeah.
What people don't realize is they actually had to go to free school care or whatever they call it, and after school care, so Caroline and I could be a part of this, and so that meant they were 8 until about 6.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you, wow. Robin and Lily. God bless you.
You guys are great. Thanks, Lily and Robin.
Thank you, everyone.
When we come back, Tom Nash. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 25th. Today we celebrate Blesseds Louis Martin and Zélie Gourin. Born into a military family in Bordeaux, Louis trained to become a watchmaker. His desire to join a religious community went unfulfilled because he didn't know Latin. Moving to Normandy, he met the highly skilled lace maker, Zélie, who also had been disappointed in her attempts to enter religious life. They married in 1858 and over the years were blessed with 9 children, though 2 sons and 2 daughters died in infancy. Louis managed the lace-making business that Zélie continued at home while raising their children. She died from breast cancer in 1877. Louis then moved the family to Lisieux to be near his brother and sister-in-law, who helped with the education of his 5 surviving girls. His health began to fail after his 15-year-old daughter entered the monastery of Mount Carmel at Lisieux in 1888. Louis died in 1894, a few months after being committed to a sanitarium. The home that Louis and Zélie created nurtured the sanctity of all their children, but especially their youngest, who is known to us as Saint Thérèse of the Child Jesus. Louis and Zélie were beatified in 2008. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
How can I build your kingdom if I'm building my own? How can you be my treasure if I'm digging for gold? How can you be my fire if my heart has grown cold? How can you be my future if I made this my home? How can I? How can I?
I don't want the world if I don't have you. That's Love and the Outcome, the husband and wife duo from Winnipeg, Canada. That's brand new, Chris and Jody King. That is a brand new song, If I Don't Have You, here on Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you for joining us. You hear many times mentioned, what would Jesus do, right? We know that phrase. We know it very well. But let's ask another question. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do when he was here? Well, one thing he did was he founded a church. We are joined now by the author of the new book, What Did Jesus Do? Thomas Nash. He's a research associate at Ave Maria Radio, and he's a contributing apologist for Catholic Answers. He wrote this book, and he's going to share some of the biblical roots of the Catholic Church with us. Tom, good morning.
Gary, so good to be with you and your audience.
Thanks for joining us today, Tom. Tom, love the title, first of all. How did you come up with this catchy title?
Well, I was just thinking about it and praying about it, and it just came to me, praise God, that like you said, it, oftentimes the focus has been in the last couple of decades, what would Jesus do? And
right.
It's like, well, before we know what he would do, we should check to see what he did do so it will guide us better to know what he would want us to do. And in founding the church, that's very clear about where we are to look to for the truth.
Right.
He's always worked through human authority throughout salvation history,
right.
And it's no different in the New Covenant.
And Tom, in the book you mention widespread skepticism that's prevalent in our modern times, and you state, and I would tend to agree with you, many will look at the title of this book, What Did Jesus Do?, and say, who cares? Why does it matter? Why does it matter, Tom?
Well, because Jesus is who he says he is. That is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can see that throughout history. I'm going back to where that he lived, that he didn't just live and die, but rose from the dead, and that there's testimony for the church from both secular and religious sources about how the church began and how the church has endured through thick and thin. And I like to say, if the church were a merely human institution, Gary,
right,
we would have been out of business centuries ago, not only because of persecutions from without, but because of, sadly, periodically scandals from within.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, look at who Jesus chose as the leaders of the early church, the apostles. I mean, who would have chosen those guys, Tom? there obviously is a lot of divine providence involved there, because for those apostles to have succeeded in establishing this church, and it's still in the fact that it still survives, that's nothing short of miraculous.
It certainly shows the providence of God. And
right,
we can see also, you know, Peter, people will not be persuaded simply by Matthew 16, 18-19 regarding the giving of the keys, which, as you know, parallels Isaiah 22, 15-25, where in the Old Covenant you had a king and you had a prime minister, and the prime minister had the key to the house of David, and none shall open, whatever he shuts, none shall open, and whatever he opens, none shall shut. Similarly, Peter in the New Covenant. But I like also, with regard to Peter, Jesus recognizes his frailty, but in Luke 22, as you know, he speaks out to Peter and says, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to sift you.
Yes.
And if you look in the Greek, it's a plural. Now, it's plural meaning all of you guys,
right,
all of you apostles. But I prayed for you singular so that your singular faith will not fail. And when you singular have turned around, strengthen your brothers. In other words, he's recognizing, going to your point about the imperfection of the apostles, that Peter is going to fail, but that he's going to lift him back up after his, you know, three-time denial of Christ. We see in John 21 where Peter affirms Jesus three times, in reconciliation and repentance for how he fell away. But here we see in Luke 22 that he in particular, is that Jesus is praying for him in particular, because he is the leader of the apostles. Despite that Satan wants to destroy all the apostles, destroy the church, he has chosen Peter and his successors to be the leaders of the church. And so our respect for Peter and for his successors comes ultimately from our faith in Christ, because Christ has founded the church, and with one in charge, as you normally, you know, that makes sense, the buck has to stop with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that there's Peter, you know, Peter, we know he has successors because of the early church of testimony from various people like Irenaeus of Lyon and Ignatius of Antioch and other people, Eusebius of Caesarea, the great historian. We see that, you know, even Judas, God of mercy, he, when he dies, he gets replaced by Messiah. Another
right,
shall take his office.
Right.
And similar in the Old Covenant, when Shebna replaces Eliakim. How much more important for Peter to be replaced if Judas is replaced?
Right.
And
right,
so we see that God has always worked through human authority, divinely founded human authority. He did it in the Old Covenant with Moses. He did it with David, despite David's imperfections and his, you know, his, among other things, his adultery and having Uriah the Hittite killed, calling for a census. And so, you know, I might dare Solomon with that one. But my point is that you have these issues, and despite these things, God sustains it because it's God's project. Again, if it were merely human, we'd have been out of business centuries ago.
No doubt about that. Tom, I remember, and I make no secret of this, for years, I'm a cradle Catholic, I was very lukewarm. I went to Mass each week, and I sat there in church at Mass, really daydreaming about other things, not paying attention. But I remember one time, and this is not in the too distant future, maybe 10, 15 years ago or so, sitting there at Mass saying, why exactly am I Catholic? And I went to Catholic school for 12 years, and I was wondering if somebody would ask me, why do you belong to the Catholic Church? I didn't really have an answer, and Tom, that kind of shook me up. So with that in mind, let me ask about the audience of this book. Is it primarily directed to non-Catholics, or is it directed to Catholics as well who may not know anything about the Church?
Yes, it's kind of both and, you know, certainly for Catholics to begin with, and I really had in mind, too, fallen away Catholics,
right,
that they might take another look at the Church and to recognize some of the problems in church history, including, sadly, the recent clerical sexual abuse scandal,
right,
that has shaken the faith of many, and to say, look, remember that it is Christ that we have our faith in ultimately, and he has sustained this project. And he's going to work through human authority. And I think of Peter, to whom shall we go? As he says in John 6, are we going to go to Luther? Are we going to go to Calvin? Right. These were guys who tried to fill in where the Pope is. Everyone believes in a Pope, Gary, just not necessarily the correct one, whether it's themselves and, you know, some morally relativistic exegetical venture, whether it's some other religious leader, whether it's, you know, thinking something by committee and believing you're inspired by the Holy Spirit. It all points out that we need somebody external to the Bible to interpret it.
Right.
Authoritatively, because otherwise we get in trouble. And so I want to reach out to those people. And I, myself, like you, I went to Catholic schools 12 years, and, you know, praise God, I didn't fall away for a while, but that doesn't mean I'm by any means not in need of God's mercy. And to realize, you know, that where I say, why are you Catholic? Because it's true.
Right.
Because Jesus founded this church, because
right.
it's historically verifiable, because it has been through thick and through thin. There's plenty of examples through church history, whether it's even Julian the Apostate back in the 300s when he tried to rebuild the temple. Mm-hmm. And as Ammianus Marcellinus pointed out, the great Roman historian, if you look at one of his little vignettes, he's talking about what happened. He says, well, because of persistent earthquakes and frightful balls of flame that kept bursting forth from the Temple Mount, Alypius, who was in charge, designated by Julian the Apostate, the Emperor of Rome, he gave up the attempt. It's like, wait a minute, frightful balls of flame coming from the Temple Mount? What's this all about?
Mm.
And I remember seeing that for the first time. It's like, yeah, it is tested to by various historians, Catholic and otherwise. And you got somebody here, a Roman historian, it's like, why would he, you know, he's got a dog in the fight, as they say. You would think he might want to ignore it, but of course he didn't elaborate on it, but he says enough that you say, whoa, what happened there?
Right.
Because his guy walked away, and it's kind of like, I think of with who's God's going to show up? Kind of like with Elijah the prophet and the prophets of Baal. It's like, here it is. It's like, okay, God, they're going to try to rebuild the temple.
Right.
And to disprove Jesus. And in fact, the frightful balls of flame pointing out that, you know, the new covenant had been established and all the old covenant sacrifices had been fulfilled in Christ, so there was no need for the temple sacrifice, despite what some of our modern-day brothers and sisters in Christ might think. So right. We see there another testimony. Beautiful.
There you go. The book is What Did Jesus Do by Tom Nash. Tom, you go through so many great topics in the book. We are just about out of time, though. You talk about scripture, tradition, the magisterium, the fundamental importance of the sacrifice of the Eucharist, the God's use of human leaders throughout history. Jesus has given his Catholic Church the words and mission of eternal life. Great book, Tom. If our listeners want to pick up a copy, where's the best place?
EWTN Religious Catalog is one place they can go.
Okay.
And then, you know, the local Catholic bookstore, Amazon too, but I always like to try to give EWTN the business if possible.
That sounds very good. Tom, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us today, and thanks for writing this book. I can't wait to really dig into it even more.
Thank you very much, Gary. God bless you.
All right. God bless you as well. That was Tom Nash talking about the biblical roots of the Catholic Church. Get ready, because Father Jim Sitchko is coming up. You know Father Jim's going to be challenging you. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump has signed a proclamation that imposes new restrictions on travelers from a handful of countries. The new rules impact citizens of Chad, Iran, Libya, North Korea, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. Certain officials from Venezuela and their families will also be banned. The new rules are set to go into effect on October 18th. They will replace Trump's ban on visitors from six countries that expired yesterday. The first U.S.-born martyr was beatified this weekend in Oklahoma City. Blessed Stanley Rother was killed in hatred of the faith in Guatemala back in 1981. The Catholic News Agency reports that Pope Francis, in a letter declaring him blessed, praised his deeply rooted faith and his, quote, arduous duty to spread the word of God in missionary lands, faithfully living his priestly and missionary service until his martyrdom, end quote. Cardinal Angelo Amato, the prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, presided over the Beatification Mass with Archbishop Paul Coakley of Oklahoma City and many other bishops in attendance. And the superior of the Traditionalist Society of St. Pius X, Bishop Bernard Fele, was among 62 signatories to a so-called filial correction issued to Pope Francis this weekend. The 25-page document outlines what they believe are seven heresies that they think Pope Francis has spread because of his apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia. Not among the signatories are Cardinal Raymond Burke and Cardinal Walter Brandmuller, the two surviving of four cardinals who sent the dubia to Pope Francis. This filial correction is not from them. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A quote from St. Alexander, "For the Lord incarnate was condemned in order to bestow mercy on us, bound in order to loose us, seized in order to free us. He suffered to heal our sufferings. He died to restore life to us. He was buried to raise us up again. One, in truth, was condemned. Thousands were set free. One was buried. Thousands rose again."
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. 4-year-old Jaden Barber from Youngstown, Ohio, was diagnosed with leukemia in 2010. The cancer spread to his bones and he was deemed terminal. Jaden's greatest wish was to meet Batman. Well, somehow actor Christian Bale, who played Batman in the movies, got wind of Jaden's wish and flew him and his entire family out to Los Angeles for a week's stay. Bale didn't seek any publicity for his act of kindness. It was only revealed when the Barber family posted about it on Facebook. Jaden's mother Charlene wrote, "Jaden and Christian talked movies and superheroes and he was genuinely happy to hear about everything Jaden wanted to tell him. And the most super news of all, Jaden's terminal cancer has gone into remission." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Had a long day, I just wanna relax. Don't have time for my friends, no time to chit-chat. Problems at my job, wondering what to do. I know I should be working, but I'm thinking of you. And just when I feel this crazy world is gonna bring me down, that's when your smile comes around. Ooh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms, will always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. And you flipped it around, calmed the tidal wave and put my feet on the ground. Forever in my heart, always on my mind. It's crazy how I think about you all of the time. And just when I think I'm about to figure you out, you make me wanna sing and shout. I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. I'll always be, you take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you
all you've done. Wish I could tell you in a short story or poem, but all I have is my voice and this guitar, and you have my heart. Oh, I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you take each and every day, make you special in some way. I love the way you hold me in your arms. You'll always be, you take each and every day, every day. I love the way you hold me by my side. You'll always be, you make each and every day oh so special. I love the way you hold me. Take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even loving you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me.
And that was Hold Me by Jamie Grace featuring Toby Mac. I'm Gary Zimek, and thank you for listening to us on Spirit in the Morning. Great to be able to start our day with you on this beautiful Monday morning. Well, you ready to get inspired? I've got the perfect person for you. We are going now to our friend Father Jim Sitchko, who's going to help us to discover God in the ordinary. Father Jim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Father, I'm always good when you're here, my friend.
Thank you. You know, I was on hold just a minute ago. Gary had me on hold. I was on hold, and then I got disconnected, and then they had to call me back. You know, and I wonder how many times in our own lives the times we feel disconnected from God.
That's right.
But God never is the one that disconnects ourselves.
That's right.
Either, you know, God is always with us at every time, you know, and how wonderful it is to realize that maybe we are not as connected we are with God, and we have to improve ourselves by, you know, daily adoration or taking time out for prayer or, you know, doing some random acts of kindness. And, you know, it's always good to do a little checkup to ourselves and our souls. You know, where are we in our relationship with God, with Christ? And that's something I would really challenge people to do this morning.
I agree, Father, because it's very easy to lose sight of God's presence in our lives if we're not careful. A lot of distractions out in the world, right?
Well, you know, we found ourselves in this country coming together, it seemed, with the storms and the hurricanes and the natural disasters. And it seems, once again, we are allowing stuff to divide us and distract us. And we have to get back on focus. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because if we don't, we're going to be like Peter, and we're going to sink. And we have to keep our eyes focused. Don't allow the everyday distractions to turn us away from Jesus. It should direct us to him.
There you go. Father, one of the things I wanted to talk about today is you travel around the country leading parish missions, and I really want to get you to the Philadelphia area because I know people could appreciate your message. And let me just ask, in case anybody's listening, maybe a DRE or a adult faith formation director or pastors, what will we experience when we come to a parish mission led by Father Jim Sitchko?
The first thing is that it's going to be hopefully an energizing, hopefully a spirit-filled evening. It's 60 minutes, and it begins with a song, and then from song we do an opening prayer, and then we have scripture reading, and then I do some preaching and storytelling. And then from that, I do some singing, some music, and then by that time, it's a little bit more storytelling, but the 60 minutes is up, you know? And we end with, again, prayer and song, and off we go. But I think one of the things that I try to do is, like, for instance, I'm in Terre Haute, Indiana, as we speak.
Yeah.
Never been here before.
Oh.
So So I like looking around the town, trying to incorporate things happening in this town, and then encourage the people to find Jesus in the ordinary and go forth.
Yeah, and Father, I think that is so very much needed because, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm a cradle Catholic, and I think there is a cultural belief among Catholics, that might exist in the Protestant world too, I can't say for sure, that you find Jesus in church. And you give him your 60 minutes, and then you go about your life as if he didn't exist. I mean, we see a lot of that, don't we?
Right, yes. And I think the thing is, we do find Jesus in church. And we do receive Jesus in church in three ways. We receive Jesus in the Word, we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, and then we receive Jesus through ourselves and through one another. But that doesn't end there. We then are what? Sent forth out to the community to do what? To be Christ to one another, to lead Christ to one another, and to challenge others through our actions, you know? And I think at times we forget that. As I tell people, if you think coming to church every weekend and only doing that is what's going to get you to heaven, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, that's a tough message, but it's one. I think it's one that needs to be spoken.
You're exactly right,
and that's why I like having you on the show, Father, because you don't pull any punches. I don't want you to sugarcoat things because I mean you're going to be judged one day too, right? And you're going to have
to
right.
That's right.
So you have
That's
to exactly speak the right. truth, as do we. But Father, how do we do that? What's the best way for me as a layperson to address somebody who maybe hasn't gone to Mass for a long time, a fallen away Catholic? Do I say, you better go to Mass or you're going to hell? Is that the best approach?
Well, I think the first best approach is always, you have to look inwardly first at oneself. You know, it's no good telling someone else to go to Mass when you yourself don't. That's number one. I think the second thing is you always have to follow the Spirit as well within you, the urging of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit tempts all of us to do things. For instance, you know, you may be going through your day this morning and think of someone. How many times do we ignore that Spirit? Why don't we pick up the phone and call that person and see where that leads, you know, or send that person a note saying, I was thinking of you this morning. Are you okay?
Father, can I just ask you, what if and this is the question that always goes through my mind, what if it's not the Holy Spirit making us think of that person? Does it really matter?
Well, how do you know that?
Right, that's what I mean. Right. So it's better to take a chance, correct?
Right. What I'm saying is, you don't know it unless you try it out.
There you go. Right.
You know, and I think the thing is, you have to learn, you know, people say to me when I do these random acts of kindnesses all over the country, how do you know this is God doing it or this or that? Because I know God. Because I've spent time with God.
Right.
Because I have a relationship with God. Because I have an understanding. Because I've surrendered to God's will. And I also trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I know when the Lord speaks to me. But I think the other thing that you bring up is, sure, we want to be pastoral. We want to be sensitive. We want to understand where possibly the other person is and walk with them, mm-hmm. not shove them.
Right.
You know, but to be with them. But we also, in that being sensitive, we can't water down the truth either.
And that's a challenge. And I think that's why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and, you know, to know when to push forth and when to hold back, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
And I think too many times we try to do this ourselves and we don't ask the Holy Spirit. I think it's so simple and we don't have to go through a long dissertation when we're asking the Holy Spirit to work in us. Come Holy Spirit generally works pretty good.
There you go. I was just about to say it. Once you say it, you know, not only say it, but be open.
But be open, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to be open to it and then do it.
Yeah, so I would invite everybody to say, come Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to work in your life, because just as Jesus operates, none of the persons of the Trinity force their way into our lives, do they, Father?
Our sacraments are never forced upon us.
Yeah.
You know, there is never an opportunity where Jesus forces himself.
Mm-hmm.
He waits for us. He is patient.
And he is willing to work as soon as we're willing to allow him to do that. Our God is a patient God,
yep.
You know, who just continues to be attentive to our needs. And when we're ready,
mm-hmm.
You know, we have to be willing to do some of the work.
Amen. Father, before you go, I want to get a blessing from you, but also give us the information about how we could find out about inviting you for a parish mission.
Sure. You can go to my website, www.frjims.com, and
okay.
In there is always a place where you can ask about coming, having me come to speak or to talk or to share, that type of thing.
Well, we've got to get on that because I've got to meet you in person, Father, and I'll buy you a cheesesteak when we get together. How's that?
That's fantastic.
How about a blessing before we go,
sure.
Father?
The Lord be with you, and may Almighty God's blessings be upon each of us this morning and this week. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Jim Sitchko, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being a regular on the program.
Wonderful, Gary.
Keep up the good work, my friend. Father Jim Sitchko, bye-bye. Make sure you visit his website, FatherJimS.com. We are going to have that linked at Spirit in the Morning.
Wonderful.
Dave.
Hey, thank you, Father. That it's always uplifting,
right?
When you're on.
I'm feeling pretty good right now. When we come back, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse.
All right, brother.
Don't go anywhere, and that means you too, Mr.
Okay.
Parker.
Okay, I'll stay here.
See you. We'll be right back.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
Getting your daily dose of vitamin Z. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
All my questions just by strongly saying to me, be still and know I am God. Oh, be still and know I am God. Sometimes I wonder why some things happen to me, why some things happen to those I love, and why it always seems to be that everywhere I go, I live my life as if He doesn't know best, but only in the Lord is my soul at rest. Still, it's easier said than done, just to be still and know He is God. Oh, be still and know He is God. Be still and know.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Luke Spihar. The song was Be Still. Luke is a good friend of the program. He's been in the studio. He's a Catholic singer, songwriter. That is a great song, Dave, isn't it?
Yes, and he's on the road a lot. He and his family, his wife.
Oh, he takes his family along with him. Yeah.
He drives a lot.
Yeah.
Wonderful voice.
Really,
wonderful talent.
That is one of those songs that just relaxes me, takes me to another place, and helps me to be still.
Exactly. Me too.
The
I put
two of
on,
us.
I say, Alexa, play Be Still by Luke Spihar.
But the two of us, Dave, we don't find it easy to be still.
I know.
but it's important for us to do that if we expect to hear the Lord speak to us.
Absolutely.
So, thank you, Luke.
We have to do it at times so we can bring it to you when we're charged.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. We need to be still so we can hear the Lord speak to us. Let's let Him speak to us right now in the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Today it comes from Revelation 2:10. Do not be afraid of anything that you are going to suffer. Indeed, the devil will throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will face an ordeal for 10 days. Remain faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Dave, there's a message there. We are not going to necessarily be thrown into prison for our belief in the Lord, but it's happening around the world.
I mean,
absolutely. That's one thing. And the second thing is, He's reminding us that when we follow Him, when we embrace our Christianity, this is more than a name-only thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to be a Catholic Christian and I'm a follower of Christ, then I better be ready to follow Him, which means what was His life like? It involves suffering. We're going to have suffering, but this life on earth, it's temporary.
Yes, it is.
This is only part of our eternal life. And Jesus, Jesus is telling us, if you are willing to pick up your cross, embrace your cross, number one, I will help you carry it.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you peace in the midst of it. But number two, if you embrace your cross, you carry your cross until you reach the finish line, you're going to have eternal life with me in heaven.
This. Yeah, we often talk about, do they know what they're getting into? Hey, come follow me. And they, okay, we'll go along with you. And
then, hey, where are we going? We going to the party?
Where are we going? Down to the Sea of Galilee, and we're going to go fishing? And, well, yes, I mean, when we say yes, our yes to God entails a lot. You know, we have to be ready, as Gary says. And I think of a, we have to go to the mat for him. You know, it's a sports analogy.
Yep.
You know, that's might be a trite saying, but yes, however we want to say it. If we say yes to him, you know, we're going to have good and bad in our lives. We're going to have trials and challenges,
exactly,
but many blessings.
Right. And in the midst of those trials and challenges, mm-hmm, you can still experience peace.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you walk, as Father Jim was telling us, with the Lord every day. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that he's with you. That's
exactly
why I say what I say at the close of each show. Whatever you do, wherever you go, remember that the Lord is with you. Because why? Because we forget all the time.
Yeah, I don't hear the music here.
Us.
Oh, no, we're
that's
that
right.
premature. Okay. That was a good run-up. Go
yeah,
ahead.
But it's really
seriously,
true. So try
folks.
To remember the Lord is with you today.
Yeah.
And
I love that, Gear.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's true. We can easily forget. Dave, speaking of forgetting, we don't want to forget to acknowledge a few other people when we're speaking about Radiothon 2017.
Exactly. And mea culpa. Dot Lang, if you're listening. Dot Lang is a part of the Holy Spirit Radio family. She was Monsignor O'Donnell's secretary, more than a secretary, confidant probably, but
yeah,
it helped him when he was not retired. And believe it or not, he is quote unquote retired, but he's not.
Mm.
He does a lot at the Port Clares. He says Mass every day, every morning, and a whole bunch of other things. But Dot, thank you. She was here on Friday when Monsignor presided over our Mass, okay, at 3:00. And again, they're great friends, eternal friends. But she's a great woman. Thank you, Dot, for all you do and have supported us through the years at Holy Spirit Radio.
Amen. All amen. Right. Thank you, Dot, for that. And thank you for all of your support. I mean, again, I said it at the start of the show. I want to thank you, our listening family, for your support of Radiothon 2017.
Oh, absolutely.
We try not to ask for too much. I mean, you know, on this show, I very rarely ask for something, and I said that over the 3 days of the Radiothon. But when I did ask, when I said we're asking you to support us financially, boy, did the listeners ever come through.
Boy, the phones lit up, and you made it happen, folks. It's all it's all to your...
Praise God.
Thank you. It's all to the Holy Spirit and your willingness to go to the mat for us.
And
so
that's true. And I don't remember which one of our 97 guests that we had. That's what it seemed like we had on Spirit of the Morning.
You didn't memorize it?
But I believe it was Father John Paul who said that when we contribute to Catholic Radio, we become part of God's providence.
Absolutely.
So we here at the station, we're praying for God to provide for us, as he has done, as we know he will continue to do for the past 18 years. Mm-hmm. But you, by sending in your contribution, you become that answer to our prayer.
You are part of the family, literally. Yes. And you're always welcome up here. And by the way, Gary, what struck me is we had people knocking on the door.
Wasn't that neat?
Yeah, it was so neat. They heard the call. They responded. They were, you know, within driving distance. Well, thank you for stopping by and seeing our beautiful little studio and station in this beautiful pastoral setting. I love it here.
Yeah.
You know, with the horses next door.
You know what was interesting, by the way? I got here. We get here very early. It's still dark. The horses are out in the dark. I wonder what time they come out. Do you know? I mean,
I don't know.
Do you know, like in the horse community, what time is? Do they wake up early?
Wait, let me text them and ask them. No, I do not know.
I mean, they're out at night.
Yeah.
Maybe they're like party horses next to us. I don't know. They're like out all night partying.
I know. How do I respond? Hey, if you're a horse person, whisperer type of person, maybe let us know. 215-345-1570.
Oh, gosh, there's the number.
No.
But no, that's just one of those things. I don't know. I'm a city boy. I don't know those things. I believe the cows are out late at night because I've heard the expression, until the cows come home, right? Early bird gets the worm.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about horses, though.
Yeah, here we go, folks.
All right. It's time for me to get out of here. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. On behalf of Dave Parker, this is Gary Zimek saying thanks for listening to Spirit in the Morning. Check us out at spiritinthemorning.com. God bless
you.
Talk to you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.